taken from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 to 12. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in the earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, not yet distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Prosecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, for which we live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you.
Thank you, Shirley. A gentleman by the name of Richard Leroy Walters died at the age of 76 in Phoenix, Arizona in 2007. Richard worked for a long time for Allied Signal Corporation in the U.S., a large corporation. He was a graduate from Purdue University with a master's degree. And he was also a former Marine. Richard had no children. He did not have a wife. And he was estranged from his brother. Richard Walters passed away at the age of 76. But before he died, he pretty much gave up all his worldly possessions. He was homeless. He had no vehicle. He had no perceived wealth at all. Richard had a couple of friends. One of them was a nurse who felt sorry for him. And this nurse was the one who would be the executor of his estate. Upon opening the will, she was surprised to find out that Richard Walters left $4 million. $4 million that would have severely changed his life if he used it for his well-being. But he saw no need. We hear about these stories from time to time where you have a person who seems very poor and destitute on the outside, but is so wealthy on the inside, you just don't see it. These stories come up from time to time like that. Richard Walters willed all of his money, minus a little bit to the nurse, but willed all of his money to charity. Gave it all away. On the outside, people saw a homeless man, poor, destitute, dirty, stinky. And on the inside, Walters was just a kind heart. Today, the Apostle Paul is talking to us through the book of 2 Corinthians. And Paul's not only talking to us, his original writing, of course, was to the Corinthian church in Corinth. But Paul is talking to us today as well. We too have been given, says Paul, a rich treasure, but we are given it, and God decides to put it, in clay jars. In clay jars. And that's an interesting image, clay jars is. And we But it's interesting when we find out what clay jars are all about. Lori has a picture up there of what looks like a clay jar. A clay jar would be about the height of this jar. I don't know if everybody can see this jar with the branches in it. But about that height, maybe a little bit taller. It wouldn't be adorned at all. It would be just a clay pot like you see up there with some handles on it. It would be non-ornate. There would be no design in it. It was just a jar. And everybody had them. Everyone had them. Because if you wanted water, you would have to go to the well and get water. If you wanted olive oil, your olive oil would be stored in a clay jar. If you had wine, wine would be stored in clay jars. If you had wheat, it would be stored in clay jars. If you had flour, it would be stored in clay jars. You get the point. Clay jars are everywhere. But clay jars are very plain. Very nondescript, very cheap. I imagine a clay jar to be something, to give you a better idea, maybe to be something like this for us today. A paper bag. I guess we could compare this bag, if it stays there, to a clay jar. That's what it's like for us today. A paper bag is just a bag that you go to the grocery store to get. A paper bag is very plain. There's nothing about it. A paper bag is very cheap. It's inexpensive. I remember back in the day when they were going to plastic, and they said, "Would you like paper or plastic?" And I said, "I want plastic," because plastic bags, you could hold a lot more stuff in a plastic bag than you could in a paper bag. In a paper bag, you had to be careful because it would rip, like this one's already starting to. And it's easier for the bag to continue to rip. You would have to hold it up. If you had a heavy load in it, you'd have to put the paper bag on your arm. You'd have to get something underneath it so that you would be able to keep it all together. This paper bag is very fragile. Clay jars were very fragile. Clay jars, if you bump them against something, against anything, they would bust. And there's no repair kit for a clay jar. None. So you would take your clay jar and you would throw it out behind your place somewhere. Just throw it out anywhere where there's rocks because it's just clay. It's just dirt anyway. And so you throw it up behind your place and it would end up busting into pieces even more. And these pieces would be called potsherds. And just for a tidbit of information, when David in Psalm 22 is talking about that my mouth is dry as a potsherd. It's a piece of clay that has been sitting in the sun that used to hold all sorts of moisture, used to hold all sorts of water, but now it holds nothing. His mouth is as dry as a potsherd, a piece of clay that's baked in the sun even more, a piece of clay pot. We live paper bag and clay pot lives, you and I. And yet, God puts in us a treasure, he says. A treasure, says Paul in today's text. And what is that treasure? Well, in the first verse that Shirley read for us today, we find that in verse 6 of chapter 4. The knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. The knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. The knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, all of that knowledge that we possess and that the church possessed in that time is this immense treasure that we have within us, that the Corinthian church had within them, and that we have within us as well. We have within us this immense treasure of this knowledge. It is unbelievably rich and unbelievably full. And you and I, knowing what we know, we might not even see it, how much of a treasure this thing really is. This is life. This is forgiveness. This is eternal life. This is our God working his plan of salvation to make us right with him once for all. This is treasure. And you and I, living our clay pot and paper bag lives, we have this within us. Now, naturally, what comes to mind is, why would God do that? Why would God put his immense treasure in such a fragile, rippable, rippable bag in a bustable pot? Why would God do that? Why would God put his treasure of immensity within something that's so fragile? Because we surely wouldn't do that. Most of us wouldn't do that. Most of us would put something of real value of ours in a safe, maybe a safe deposit box at the bank, if we have that much treasure, or maybe in a safe in our homes if we're so equipped, or a little safe box. You can get these little boxes that are safe, that are fireproof, and we might want to put some of our treasures in that to protect them against the elements, to protect them against fire and whatnot. Why would God choose to do this? Why would God choose a paper bag over this? Because we wouldn't choose this. But God wants to put an immeasurable treasure in something so fragile. In something so fragile. Perhaps another question to ask is, not only why would God do that, but what is it about us that makes God want to do that? What is it about us that makes God want to do that? Because you and I, being very plain, being very normal, being very nondescript, what do we have to add to that? What do we have to add to this? What security are we to add to God's immense treasure that's coming out to him, or coming out to us, that he's filling us with? What do we have to add to it? And the answer is nothing. We have none. We have nothing to add. But that's the point. We often think that we need to adorn ourselves with something, that we need to make ourselves look better or be better or feel better, but that's not it. God doesn't work through us that way. God doesn't put his securities in a bank vault or in an armored truck or in a safe. God puts a security in you and I. In just a regular, everyday jar. In just a regular, everyday paper bag. And God does this so that he may be glorified. In fact, it says that in the text. It says, we have treasures in this jar of clay to show this, that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And the funny thing about it is that when we are filled with God's treasure, when God fills us up, oh, you see, it's Sobeys on here. When God fills us up, this paper bag, this clay jar that we are filled with, suddenly becomes worth a whole lot more. If you were to fill this thing with $100 bills, would this thing be useless? Would this thing be just an empty paper bag, useless as it was before? No. It would be worth every penny of what's contained within it. Same with the clay jar. If you were to fill that clay jar full of gold coins, it would be worth every little bit of the gold coins that you put into it. Same with this immense treasure that we receive from Almighty God. We are immeasurably worth more with God than without. Immeasurably. God values you and I when we hold on to His promise. When we are looking at God values you and I when we hold on to this knowledge of Almighty God, of Jesus Christ Himself. When we have this treasure within us, we are worth way more. We are priceless, you and I. Without, not so much. But with God in us, we are priceless. And then God protects us. Paul says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. We carry in us the death of Jesus so that His life may be revealed in us. Jesus' death and resurrection, that's what it points to. But God protects us when we hold on to the image of Jesus, to this thought of Jesus in our lives, to the knowledge of Christ. God holds on to us. He protects us like He's holding the paper bag up from underneath and He's wrapping His arm around us so that, yes, we will feel the pressures from this world, but we will not be beaten. We will not be torn apart. We will not be bumped and cracked and busted open. We will prevail. God protects as well. So that Jesus, that the death of Jesus may live through us as well. Because we who are alive, as the text says in verse 11, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. We are living the life that proclaims the death and resurrection of Christ, so that others may see it and be knowledgeable as well, so that they may live as well. Our Lord has called us to be the container through which He goes out into the world. The container being the clay jar, that's fine. The container being the paper bag, that's fine. And God goes with us as we go. But know this in your heart. You carry around the most precious gift that has ever been given to humanity. You carry that within you. You are of immense value to God because you carry this gift. Of immense value. Problem is that sometimes you don't feel like you're of immense value. I know I don't. a lot. This world seems to pump us up from time to time, saying, oh, you're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth a lot. Makeup companies are really good for this, trying to sell their products to say, you know what? You know, you're worth every penny that of money, every penny of money that you're spending on makeup. And I'm not knocking them. They're doing their job. And you are worth something, but your worth is not found. Your absolute capacity of worth is not found in yourselves at all. For you and I are clay jars. You and I are paper bags. We are not worthless, but filled with the knowledge of Christ, we are immeasurably worth more. And God fills us to capacity. In fact, the Spirit says He overflows us. We overflow with the love of Christ. So as we are working our way towards Good Friday, remembering that we are on our way, that we're looking towards the death of Christ, that we're looking towards His resurrection again on Easter, even that we're looking towards His ascension again, that we're looking towards this journey of Jesus as He fulfills the prophecies that are said about Him, as He fulfills the story of God and the plan of God throughout. We need to remember that we are of immense worth because we have Jesus, the knowledge of this, all of this, within us. You are worth a ton. A ton. Happy to say it. Keep Christ in you. Ooze Christ out of you to other people around you. And remember this as we walk our way towards Easter, towards Good Friday. Amen. Let's come to God in a time of prayer. Lord, we thank You once again that You have us in Your sights, that we are able to work for You, and that You work within us, God. That it is not anything of our doing at all, but that it is all about Your doing, God. It is all about Your love. That it is not about us, but it is about You. We thank You, Lord, that You include us, that You fill us to capacity, that You overflow us with Your love, and that You give to us, Lord, all that we have. Blessings to You as we move forward on our way to the cross. In Christ, amen.